Alrighty, let's rock this thing. 3, 2, 1. Good afternoon. Today is Wednesday, March 13th, 73rd day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Humboldt County 5th District Supervisor, Mr. Sundberg. How are you doing, Greg?
I'm doing well. How are you, sir?
Oh, extraordinarily vertical.
That's better than the alternative.
Yeah, I know. I just wish I could throw in that good-looking thing and everybody just... They don't go with me on that one. I just don't get it. This afternoon, we got a couple of different things we're going to kick around. Infrastructure. I know it's high up on that sexy list, but it is something that the county is involved with on a pretty regular basis. So we'll talk a little bit about infrastructure, what the county's holdings are, what they should be, and maybe what they could be. Also, along the same lines, application, perhaps, of some of the funding. You know, what do we do? What tools can we afford to give? What tools should we be giving to folks to get their job done a little bit better? Computers, cars, all that kind of fun stuff. It'll be better than what it sounds like. Okay, give us a break. Stay with us, and we'll get you hooked when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say. It's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank, our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time, it's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg, but before we do, our quote this afternoon. You want to laugh or you want to cry? Your choice.
I like to laugh and cry.
Oh, you like to laugh and cry. Okay, I got to find another quote here.
Do the curveball.
Oh, here you go. Tip O'Neill.
Let's do it.
You'll laugh, I'll cry.
Okay.
All politics is local.
Feels like it.
Yeah. Oh, no
but
kidding.
They say it runs downhill. So.
Many things run downhill, Kemosabe. Yes. You really want to take a hold of that one, huh? All right. Joe the Plumber says, all things run downhill. Infrastructure, I would imagine, is so exciting, so dynamic, and so boring for most folks. It doesn't even show up on the radar screen as a topic of discussion during political races. And yet, it, I would suggest, is probably one of the more critical things that the county has because, one, the reliance on it, but secondarily, it's such a major investment, the maintenance as well as the initial outlay, that you really can't afford to ignore it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, nobody complains about it till it's not there, and then, or if they need it and want it and they can't get it, then it's a big issue. McKinleyville's kind of interesting because they got too much of the housing element. You know, we had somewhere around 50% of the housing, low-income housing allocation went to McKinleyville. Quite upsetting. So it's a tricky one with how do you disperse it? Who gets it? You know, and the county's so huge.
Well, how much influence do you guys have anyway over the department heads?
We hire and fire them, so.
Yeah, but as far as the allocation, you know, I've heard the campaigns, past sheriffs, well, we're going to do a ha-ha-ha. Great. Mm-hmm. But the supervisor that happens to be campaigning, you say, and we will have a, it's like you have no influence on that one. You have no control. They're independently elected, or they've got their own reasons, and you have forgotten to ask. So with the allocation of infrastructure, how do you, as someone who has no incorporated cities in his district?
Trinidad.
You cut me off, man. of population over 1,000.
Okay.
How do you think it ought to be allocated?
Well, I mean, it goes by, you know, you have to do it by need, first of all. And, you know, McKinleyville is definitely one of, you know, the biggest population center that's in the county. And if it was not for that little rule that you had to be revenue neutral, McKinleyville would probably be a city. Since there is that rule, it's not going to be a city unless they change the rule or law. So, you know, a lot of the infrastructure goes to, you know, McKinleyville. And for roads, Central Avenue is the single most traveled road in the county. Unincorporated.
Isn't roads pretty much given that that's, you know, as much as you guys can get and apply to roads, everybody's in favor of good roads.
Yeah, yeah. But how do you, you know, right now we sent Tom Mattson, our public works director, back to go talk with stakeholders about should we do a developer fee for roads specifically, you know, because we're, I think the last I heard, we were $200 million in deferred maintenance for the county, and most of it's all roads. So, you know, they pretty much what they do is they allocate it by how the roads, you know, how many people travel the road. It gets the most priority.
The counter thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So are they going to, you know, resurface a road, or, you know, how fast do potholes get fixed? And
well, wouldn't that make sense? I'm thinking of public safety now. Let's say fire. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you live out in the boonies, way out in the boonies, to expect that you're going to have a 5-minute response to a fire, or to have a sheriff come cruising by 3-4 times a day, checking out the neighborhood. Pretty realistic. I mean, I put that right up there with a guy who moves into the airport by the airport and complains about the airplane noise. Yeah, I mean, you're there. You're there for a purpose. You're there for a reason, and part of that is the rural nature.
Mm-hmm.
Figure it out. Roads, I would think, would be pretty similar, unless it was a main drag.
No, you're exactly right. That's how they allocate it, is the by how much people drive it. You know, is there how many cars are on this road? Is who's going to have priority? And, you know, just recently they go write grants too. You know, and so McKinleyville gets quite a few grants for, you know, we're doing redoing school road. We just got some safe routes to school grants for Murray Road. We're going to have there's a road called Little Pond Street. In Murray, they're going to put a little place where you can get halfway. It's a 4-lane road with a turn lane. So where the turn lane is, they're going to have a spot where you can get across and you can stop there and not have to worry about
it. You're a safe island.
Yeah, an island.
Okay.
And so there's, you know, there's quite a bit that comes to McKinleyville, and it's kind of nice with I have the McKinleyville Municipal Advisory Committee set up now in McKinleyville, and Public Works has somewhere to go and vet some of these projects. And
which has got to be really cool, because in the past, you know, you have public hearing, nobody shows up. Mm-hmm. Okay. Or you don't have one because nobody showed up last time, and then you get ripped.
Yeah.
It gives them at least somewhere that they can go to, other than, I guess, the Community Services District, which is a different critter entirely.
And they do water and wastewater and parks and recreation.
Yeah, let's talk about roads.
They don't do roads. So, yeah, so it was a little difficult because the public works wouldn't know where to go. You know, they'd call me and
just go to the soccer field or the Little League field, depending on the time of the year, and work your crowd, right?
Yeah. So this is a nice, this is a great form. The paper, the McKinleyville Press, covers it well. And they got, you know, the last one that came up was the grant that they wrote to do a center divider median down Central Avenue. And the public came out, and the MMAC board decided that it wasn't a good idea for a lot of reasons. And Public Works got their feedback. So I don't think that project's going to happen.
Sometimes it's positive, sometimes it's not.
Mm-hmm.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 3:19.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you have a dog or plan to add one to your family, you'll want to know about the Humboldt Dog Obedience Group, or HumDog for short. HumDog, a nonprofit organization, began in 1978 and is run by 50 volunteers. Its purpose is to teach dogs good citizenship. HumDog conducts classes nearly every Monday evening throughout the year at Redwood Acres. There are puppy training classes, basic training for dogs over 6 months old, and more advanced classes. The modest fees are used to pay the rent and professional trainers. Each session lasts an hour. HumDog also puts on two annual events, the Dog Expo in March and the Dog Agility Trial in August. Both draw crowds of dog lovers. For those who apply for funds to spay or neuter their dog, HumDog has a special fund that may be able to help. See their website, www.humdog.org. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, looking at some of the different challenges that are out there, infrastructure was kind of the theme of the first. When you think of the buildings and the real estate holdings, non-parks, that the county has, I can remember decades ago talking about consolidation. Make it simple. One-stop shop. Make it customer-focused. Blah, 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 blah. Not anticipating some of the cultural changes we've had in the last 20 years. Okay, now that we do, and we have made it easier for folks who are inclined to use more government services than what some of us think should be even available, I am now almost a fan of the other side. Let's disperse it out. Let's make it a little bit more challenging. Don't make it so easy. Okay. Either way, you've got property maintenance issues. You've got liability issues. You got insurance issues, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, because you don't have one big tall edifice in the middle of the town.
Mm-hmm.
How does a county look at buildings, building maintenance, rent, lease, own? How do you figure out what is the best?
Yeah, well, this Health and Human Services is the biggest, you know, user of it. But it's strange because they're in their grants, they cannot purchase a building. They have to rent, which is good for...
Really? It's in like the bylaws,
It's in the grant that they cannot use money for the
purchase. So it's not the state constitution. It's just some of the grant funding that they get.
It's the grant funding that comes from the state and federal government. It says they cannot use it for a purchase of a building. They have to rent. It can only be used for a lease.
Is that 100% of their funding, or do you guys kick in some out of general fund?
These are close, so don't hold me to these numbers exactly, but close enough is $150 million for Health and Human Services, roughly half of our budget. And we put in around $5 million. Out of the general fund.
And most of those are probably going to be matching towards those grants that you were just alluding to.
Yeah, and mandates the county has for like general relief and things like that.
So those dollars could be used for purchasing a structure either?
It could be used for a structure, I guess, but it's all allocated out for the things that the county has to do for Health and Human Services.
With those grants that are currently in place or that are successfully being written for, if the dollars can't be used for it, does it preclude those offices from being inside of currently owned buildings that the county has?
That's a good question. You know, and then just pay rent back to the county?
However that part would work out. I'm sure that
since they don't do it, I'm assuming no. but I don't know that for sure. But, you know, part of your question is interesting because we do have a lot of buildings, you know, and some of them are just falling apart. It's shocking almost. Some of them are just, they send in pictures and they are literally falling apart. And we just had a strategic planning meeting last Friday to talk about some of this stuff. How are we going to deal with the, you know, I don't see where there's a lot of money going to be coming in really fast to take care of this stuff. So it's like the conversation needs to be focused more on how do we take care of the stuff? What are the most important ones? How do we get rid of the ones that we can get rid of and focus on the ones that we want to take care of and make those buildings nice?
Can you turn some of them into a blader and just knock them down, sell off the property and say, okay, from a different time, a different era, we could do it, but not anymore, and sell off some of those properties? Because I'm sure they're either in prime commercial areas.
Mm-hmm.
Or locations.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you need to contact a realtor and run those numbers, and those, you know, those are the questions that were asked.
And I'm sure willingly embraced by one and all, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would think it's tough to give up, particularly if you've got folks who have positive memories.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that used to be, that could be again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you know how wide that moat is right now?
Yeah, we're in charge of looking forward, and if there's not money to maintain them, you have to do something. You can't just keep watching this thing fall apart and then spread the money out so thin for everyone that your buildings that you could put money into and keep nice for a long time doesn't get the attention it needs, and then it falls apart too. So.
Same things go for parks?
They're not struggling as much with the parks around here because, for the county anyways, the county parks are holding their own. So they, you know, they're putting the money back into them. They're not negative cash flow. So I think we're okay with the county parks.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
This is Fred Van Fleck, Eureka City Schools Superintendent. Exciting new things are happening in our district next year. Reducing our kinder through third grade class size to 23-1. Eliminating our combination classes in the reopening of Winship Middle School. Remember, we are the largest district on the North Coast, allowing us to have the most diverse course in extracurricular offerings. Enrollment is happening now. Please stop by the district office across from Eureka High School or visit the website at eurekacityschools.org.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Humboldt County Supervisor Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, as you consider some of the different choices that are out there and what is the best allocation of the dollars, is anybody comfortable in using an Etch-a-Sketch, starting all over and saying, okay, here's what we have coming in, here's some assets, I guess, or resources that we have, some ongoing commitments that we have. This stuff feels good. This stuff doesn't look good. This stuff looks pretty prudent. This stuff ought to get blown out of the water. Is there ever an exercise or a morning where you get however many you can get together legally with and look at that kind of stuff and just say, you know, maybe it's time. Maybe it's time to look at this from a different perspective.
I guess the answer is no. The courthouse, and we have the jail is our main area, and you know, the courthouse still has a loan on it that we're paying on. We have the animal shelter making payments on that. We have the airport payments on that. So the Health and Human Services is actually getting a new campus down by, they're on Coster Street right now, and they're going to move down the road a little bit. So they're planning for that now.
What, in the Schmidbauer's area?
I don't know. It's just down the street a little bit.
But just say no. Don't.
Yeah. Don't get me in trouble.
With those comments, don't play with it.
Yeah. So I don't think it's an option to, you know, shake the Etch-a-Sketch and start all over. You know, it's not. I don't think it's an option. So, I guess that's why we probably haven't talked about it. But
so as you look at different things that are out there, I guess one of my pet peeves lately, and I don't know why, I just kind of seem to cycle onto it and then come off, is the amount of federal car vehicles that I see driving around on the weekends. And they're not like wardens or rangers. They're just all these white vehicles driving around with U.S. federal government plates on them.
Yeah.
And no tags, so I know they're not paying any money either into the state to help out anything. When you guys have vehicles, other than the cops, I get the cops,
mm-hmm.
And maybe if you drive home a snowplow, okay, I get that one too. Do they have to check in the vehicles and then check them out Monday morning? And is there any kind of an oversight on that kind of thing? Because it would be real easy to run up a huge amount of petroleum and fuel cost and wear and tear if, you know, here, Ryan, here's your car, mm-hmm. and you drive it all the time as your personal as well as your professional vehicle.
Yeah, there's very few people who take the car home. I know that. So, and that was actually one of the questions I was, I had when I came here.
You were chomping early on that one?
Yeah. Okay. So we went in and took a look. But they, on the other hand, you know, they do check them in and out of the motor pool, and it's watched quite closely, and it gets attached to your. So if I wanted to go out of town and I wanted to use one of the county cars, I would go down to motor pool, sign it in.
So let's say you go to Sacramento.
Yeah, and they would, and I have a budget for out of county travel. It's like $1,500. So if it costs a couple hundred dollars to run that car down to Sacramento and back, it would come out of my budget, and it would, you know, be tracked like that. So
the gas and the per miles and all that kind of
all
stuff.
That all, yeah. Okay. Yeah, it's all wrapped in your maintenance and
so
all that.
So if you go to Sacramento by way of Seattle,
it would
they'll know.
It would, yeah, and it would show up quite brightly, and your travel budget would be gone, and then you'd have to try and, you know, find more money for your travel budget somewhere else, which would shine a pretty big spotlight on it. So I feel comfortable that it's being watched carefully, but they have a lot of cars in there that, and that's one of the questions that is asked is, okay, in motor pool, do you need all these cars? Because you have, you know, there's a cost to have all those cars, you know.
Whether they're being used or not.
Yeah, they're just sitting in there. And do you need them? Can we reduce them? Can departments share vehicles, you know?
How about bigger vehicles?
I don't, what do you mean, like a van?
Seat six rather than seats two or two and a half with some of the small little itty bitty cars. Just another weird thought. Yeah. You know the ones that I think are the coolest ones, and I don't know if the county has any of them. Those vans, the regular size vans, but they're taller.
What'd you use it for?
Oh, carrying supplies and that kind of stuff. You know, like the public works guys, you know, they have the trucks.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. I suppose you need to have a truck if you need to go in certain areas, but you know, if you're just kind of buzzing around or it's not in the middle of winter and there's not floods up to your axles.
Mm-hmm.
You know, drive one of these other guys, and they got the, you know, space for the shovels and all that kind of stuff in the back. But
I think they do have some of those.
Yeah.
Most of the cars I see in there are, you know, cars that are, you know, been on a grant. Someone has written a grant, and part of that grant is, you know, personnel. Yeah, personnel. It's for a car. It's for computers. And then once they if you read our board reports or our board of supervisors
the package
agendas, yeah, there'll be a car in there that's being sent over to the motor pool through a grant, and it happens regularly.
Huh.
So it you know, so that's how the cars get in there. And then it's a goofy system, so I think they just need to look into it.
There is some really prime property that the county owns, like along the bluff there. You're talking about the motor pool, the garage is across the street from. Is there any? Does the county know what the property that the buildings are on are worth? So when you're making those determinations, which ones are blades and which ones are worth investing?
Well, that's the questions that we asked for. You know, part of the reason we had the strategic planning meeting is we need to figure these out, and is everybody on board with it? And we can't talk with more than one other supervisor, so we have to have an open meeting to be able to talk about it, you know, because of the Brown Act. So that's what's nice about having these meetings.
You always go and invade Phil's office.
Well, we've asked Phil a few times. I remember when Jimmy was here, we'd asked Phil, you know, what about this? What about the properties? And it's tough for staff when they don't have direction from the whole board. You know, you just have one or two supervisors asking you something you kind of need to know where everybody's at. You know, do they, you know, does the majority think that's a good idea, or is it just you two? And
well, you know, you're always on your island, so it's always your problem.
So I told him, it should just be whatever I say, you know.
Yeah, king for a day, right? Uh-huh. You're each our king or queen for a day, and everybody has their day.
You get whatever you want that day.
Yeah.
There's five of us, there's 5 days. Yeah, that'll work.
It works. It's all there. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:43. We'll be back with more from Ryan Sundberg.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Ryan Sundberg. Ryan, considering some of the different challenges that are out there, we're talking about property. Does the county regularly reassess the properties to know what the values are, not only of the holdings, but also for the tax base? You know, we've gone through a period where there's been a slump in the value. Okay, well, certainly the taxes should reflect that. And if it's going the other direction, I think it would make sense to have that done also. Does the assessor regularly do that? Do you guys get reports seeing those values fluctuate?
Yeah, and she came before our board last year to let us know they were really struggling because they had lost some people and we'd frozen positions over, you know, just like everybody was taking cuts for a while. Well, they came to kind of it got really tough for the assessor's office because they were reassessing so many pieces of property because the property values had gone down, you know, and people were wanting to be reassessed. So, you know, it's only fair that they pay less if the property is worth less. And this last year has actually gone back up. So,
Was it last week we heard California was a 10% valuation up, I think, statewide. Okay.
But they don't move it. You know, I think it's 2% is the most it can go up for Prop 13. So once it gets back to that system, it's, you know, easy for them because they just 2%, you know, but it's labor intensive to go and do it when it goes back the other way and they have to start reassessing them downward.
You know, they have to get out in the field, right?
Well, yeah. And it takes some time and if people don't agree with it, it goes to the appeals board. And, you know, so it is definitely labor intensive for them to do that.
Status on the airport. Is there another carrier? Is there, what are you hearing with that?
Yeah, the word on the street is there's at least two that are very, very interested. And I'm told under the radar that we should have someone in here by this summer. And once we get someone
going somewhere that people want to go?
That would be the goal.
But, you know, some of these guys have got the goofy routes, and it's like, okay, fine.
Yeah, we need, I mean, I don't know if you've seen our budget, but the airport's really struggling, you know, with only having one airline. And
then you get hammered for the rates. I mean, why would anybody want to go out?
Yeah, I mean, there's a market, though. If they can get some competition there, it's going to be good for rates. It'll be good for the airport.
Game on,
man. For the county.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for the county taxes. And it's it's important. We've put a good package together for them as far as the revenue guarantee and some of the
Can you
charges.
Do that for both carriers?
No.
It's just first one in?
It's the first one in, yeah. So we're going to... I think it's a very attractive package, and I'm pretty confident that we'll have somebody here by this summer for, you know, a competition. And
so Sundberg Flyby won't be
the
winning.
I can guarantee you that.
You
one.
Can, okay.
Yeah, but that's the word on the street, and and it makes sense to me, and I've heard it from enough different sources that I think it's going to happen.
You're not on the airport hustle committee?
I am not.
Way to go.
I'm on the airport rumor committee.
Thanks for coming by, bud. We've been talking shop.
Welcome aboard.
Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.